Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. Thanks for joining me tonight. I did some research again today about the gentleman, Edward Snowden, the one that we spoke about last night. And apparently he's claiming today that Washington is bullying Hong Kong so that they'll extradite him. And there is quite a write-up in several of the different news publications. And the chief executive, Lung Chung Ying, has remained tight-lipped on the matter in what has turned out to be an awkward trip to the United States to promote trade relations. He refused to respond to media questions about the case when he attended a plenary meeting hosted by the Hong Kong U.S. Business Council in New York yesterday. Earlier in the week, he met New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg to talk about the challenges facing both their cities, but again, no mention of the Snowden affair was made. The meeting had been rescheduled in the immediate aftermath of Snowden revealing himself as a source of the leaks. Before a dinner in his honor hosted by the Hong Kong Trade Development Council on Tuesday, Lung, who flies home today, was asked six questions by reporters about Snowden. "I have no comment on individual cases," he said. Asked whether he had discussed the issue with the U.S. officials, and whether U.S. officials had sought assistance from the Hong Kong government, Lung again said he could not comment. Asked about how extraditions to friendly countries were handled, he said, "In general, we follow the laws and our policies." The leaks have set off a furor in the United States, with President Barack Obama defending the program as vital to keeping Americans safe. The Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, said it gathers data trails left by targeted foreign citizens using the Internet outside the U.S. The chief of the NSA, General Keith Alexander, was yesterday set to testify on the issue before the U.S. Senate committee. So, as you can see, things are really really swirling out of control, and there's a lot of comments. Some are very controversial. I don't think I'm going to read them because they're other people's thoughts, and I don't want to. I don't want to put things out there that other people will start considering, because a lot of it sounds to me like they should have monitored themselves before they wrote some of these things. This sounds like perhaps we're dealing with some rather immature people who need a punching bag or something, maybe, to get rid of a little bit of their anger. So I do believe, though, that as we talk about on a regular basis here, that things are getting out of hand. And one of the other things that took place today was an article about a young man who was asked to sing he was a mariachi singer last season on America's Got Talent. And this young man has a voice that surpasses anything I've ever heard. And I am going to let all of you listen to it because I think it's worth hearing.
Here to perform the national anthem, he's known as El Charro de Oro, the boy with the golden voice. Please welcome 11-year-old San Antonio native, Sebastian De La Cruz.
Stripes and bright stars.
Now, I don't know about all of you, but that has to be one of the most spectacular versions of our national anthem that I have ever heard. And this is a very young man. I believe his age is 10. And I do remember seeing him on last year's American Idol. However, after this was on the internet, along with it are some unbelievable comments. Can't believe they had the nerve to have a beaner sing the national anthem of America. This kid is Mexican. Why is he singing the national anthem? 9 out of 10 chance that kid singing national anthem is illegal. I'm highly upset that this kid is singing the United States national anthem, clearly from Mexico. It's ironic how a little Mexican boy is singing the national anthem of America. You know, it goes on, and I was so ashamed of the behavior after hearing this song that I wanted to let everybody know, this is how far it's gotten. This is a beautiful little boy. Why would you have so much anger directed at this child? Aren't you proud that another country will sing our national anthem with that kind of heart and feeling? I can't imagine what people are thinking. It just, for me, I mean, I have heard that sung by tenors and sopranos, and some of the best singers in the world have sung the national anthem. This child, if you watch this video, his eyes don't even open. That's how much heart is in this song. We should be proud that he wanted to sing and that he did it so beautifully. So I have a few other things to talk about today, but I'm going to bring Shelly in so we can discuss them as we talk about them. Hi, Shell. Wasn't that beautiful?
Oh, my gosh. I don't remember. I always watch that show. Did you say this was America's Got Talent or American Idol?
America's Got Talent, and he was with one of the mariachi bands, and they were all dressed in full costume, full Mexican mariachi gear.
Wow.
And he was adorable. He was adorable then, too.
But see, I have a couple of reactions to that. Number one, if this is what you're saying with the mariachi band, all right, if they are Mexican nationals and they chose to honor America because that's the show they're on, America's Got Talent, by singing our national anthem, that's an honor. People should have applauded them, or maybe they're all American citizens, but they have a Mexican heritage, and they're honoring their American heritage by becoming mariachi. So either way, they're either honoring America or they're honoring their heritage. But either way, they deserve to be applauded. They deserve our respect. And that young man is incredible. He would grow up, he is going to grow up to be an asset to this country. He could be nothing less than an asset to this country. So why wouldn't you embrace him? Why wouldn't you give him your applause and your good feelings and your admiration? I'm astonished when I hear that type of, and that is bigotry. For anybody listening that does not recognize it, that is bigotry. And it plays no place in any kind of a decent civilization. And that's what we need to move towards, to becoming a decent civilization, people just simply caring about people and recognizing the beauty in every single culture that's out there.
Well, apparently this particular performance took place at the last moment at the NBA Finals this young man was born and raised in San Antonio, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But he wore his mariachi outfit just because, you know, of his heritage. Now, something that has popped up on this same site is a, I've never listened to it, but I'm going to put it on so that we can all hear what he has to say. But apparently, because
I want to thank him, and just to be able to sing the national anthem, people don't know. They just assume that I'm just Mexican, but I'm not from Mexico. I'm from San Antonio, born and raised. True San Antonio Spurs fan.
So did you hear that? That wasn't as loud as the first one. He said they're making the assumption that he was born in Mexico. He was not. He was born and raised in San Antonio, Texas.
In this
video, he's in basketball gear with a hat on, and he's just adorable. But it's just one of the many things that we keep seeing and hearing finding out about the way we behave. And when we talk about our behavior, especially in regards to adults, I say this a lot, and every time I think we've made some strides forward, I read stuff like this. Now, there is there's another article that I wanted to talk about tonight, because this, I don't even have any input, so that's why I wanted to bring you in, because I'm hoping that maybe you'll say something that makes me feel like there's something I can say that has some positive input. A teacher is fired because her abusive ex-husband posed a threat to the students at the Catholic San Diego school that she worked at. She was a teacher. A domestic violence victim has come forward this week after being fired from her teaching job at a San Diego Catholic school because she was deemed a liability for having an abusive ex-husband. Earlier this year, Carrie Charlesworth and her four children were removed from Holy Trinity School after she gathered up the courage to disclose her struggles with domestic violence to the school's principal. After what the second grade teacher called a very bad weekend with her ex-husband, the unidentified man arrived outside the school, prompting a lockdown. She was subsequently put on indefinite leave and then formally, terminated 3 months later. So here's the letter of termination. We know from the most recent incident involving you and Mrs. Wright, the principal, while you were physically at Holy Trinity School, that the temporary restraining order in effect were not a deterrent to him. Although we understand he is currently incarcerated, we have no way of knowing how long or short a time he will actually serve, and we understand from court files that he may be released as early as next fall. In the interest of the safety of the students, faculty, and parents at Holy Trinity School, we simply cannot allow you to return to work there or, unfortunately, at any other school in the diocese. So, for me, I mean, when I read this, I read it like three times, and I thought, someplace I'm missing where they changed their mind and they're really not doing that to this young woman, and they're going to support her, because we're talking about a church, supposedly the safest domain in the world, in almost any country, unless you believe in vampires or something. So I'm blown away by this. And, of course, having been raised a Catholic, I'm also embarrassed. And it says, I mean, this is one of the comments. I mean, that's why women of domestic violence don't come forward, because they're afraid of the way people are going to see them, view them, perceive them, treat them, said Charlesworth after being informed that several parents were planning to pull their children out of school. The San Diego diocese, why can't I say that word? I said it all my life. The diocese, you know why? Because I'm trying to read it and it doesn't look like office for schools has said it would not comment publicly about personal issues, but it still fired her. You know, they still fired her, but they won't comment about personal issues. Meanwhile, Charlesworth says the entire ordeal has caused her to lose her religion. I have not been back to a Catholic church since this happened, she said. Her ex-husband, who was jailed on two felony charges back in January, is due to be released this month. So the comments again on this, because most of these sites that I read a lot of this stuff on opens up to being able to comment. And there's actually an argument between a man and a woman about more Catholic whack job scum who think they rule the world. And then a lady answers, I'm Catholic too. You know, you sound like you might be a lot like this husband. I mean, they actually have, yeah, it's like fifth grade Facebook discussions, you know. So this really bothered me. I'm going to try to find out if there's any more information about this, and actually I would like to see something be done for this young woman. She could have kept it a secret, and had she kept it a secret, they might be right. Something bad might have really happened. But when she told, which is what we say to do, I mean, isn't that what everybody says? If you talk and share it and ask for help, you'll get help.
Yeah.
You know, that's our answer about everything. And yet here she is in supposedly one of the safest surroundings in the world, and they just turn her out. Like, you know, say, okay, fend for yourself. You married him. You deal with it.
Well,
I just can't get it.
Emotion. I got to be honest with you. I have mixed emotions towards that, because on one hand, if children were not involved, I would feel more strenuously the way you do. But people that are unstable, people that engage in violence against another person, you never know what they're going to do. And a lot of times the restraining orders makes them snap, all right? And there have been, well, quite bluntly, there have been massacres perpetrated by somebody who, you know, like a husband or a boyfriend or something like that, and it's usually men. I don't know if it's ever been with women, but it's usually men. And they lose it. And there's innocent bystanders that sometimes get crippled or lose their lives. So in that respect, I'm kind of struggling with this, because I understand where you're coming from. And if it was just a matter of her working in a company or something like that, then I might have a different reaction. But if this guy is that volatile, where a restraining order isn't keeping him in check, I don't know if it is safe to keep her employed in something like that. When I was working at Grumman Aerospace, which was a secure military facility, now this is going back about 20 years ago, this is when I still lived in New York, I had gotten attacked by a woman who was on drugs walking into the building. She was another staff member there. She got high on drugs and attacked me in the doorway. We had gotten in an argument, and she was losing her job and had gotten high, and it was caught on film. I got called in, and I almost got fired along with her, because they felt that this woman was so... I had nothing to do with her getting fired, but she thought I did, and I did not. But she thought I did. That's why she had approached me in the doorway. And they told me that, I forgot how I got out of it, but I was actually slated for getting fired also, because since it was a secure facility, I was putting the other employees at risk because of this nut job. So she was getting fired, but I almost got fired along with her because I got attacked by her, and I was putting the other employees at risk. So that's kind of where that mentality comes from. It's used it's very widespread in certain types of businesses and things like that, where both the victim and the perpetrator are both let go if they feel that the situation is going to put other innocent bystanders at jeopardy. And like I said, I'm having very mixed reactions to this story, only because children are involved. I thought it was ludicrous because it was a secure facility, and I felt that I wasn't posing a risk to them. And I don't remember how I argued it, but obviously I didn't get fired, so I must have argued it effectively at that time. I ended up not losing my job. And this woman was just a nut job. She's just a wacko. And I actually had nothing to do with her whole situation. I don't even remember why she thought I did. But, you know, the more we talked, the more they realized that it was just her issue. But, mm-hmm. you know, so.
Well, I don't disagree with any of that. But I think where my head is at is, yes, you know, everybody has to be taken into consideration, and this is one of those times when this is a really big picture. And I talk about that a lot, being able to see all the sides of an issue and being able to make a decision that is good for all, not just the children and this mom. My
right.
point, though, is to just throw her out in the street. I mean, the Catholic organization is one of the largest in the world. I'm struggling to figure out why they couldn't move her to Timbuktu in a safe house and keep her working and keep her children fed and help her.
Right. Help
I thought...
Right.
Exactly.
I see your point.
Yes. The fact that she can't stay there because he knows that they're there and because they're putting other kids in jeopardy, of course I appreciate. I appreciate it completely. But I don't appreciate the fact that nobody cares what happens to her after they kick her out the door. Now, if I find out, which I would love to find out, that they are helping her in another way, because she can't keep her job there. If they said that she can't be in that congregation, so that doesn't mean she can't be in another one. And that doesn't. The whole point is, if you are who you say you are, if you are involved in the devout religion of Catholicism, everything you learn is about looking out for your neighbor and
right.
loving enough to be able to make it through things. Does that sound like, you know, an organization that cares about somebody? Now,
well,
again, you know, you always have to take with a grain of salt things that you get on some of these sites that I cruise through and check out things, but I try to find names of organizations that are, you know, that are a little bit reputable and everything. And I found this story in several different places, so I know it really happened. But I still, that's not right. That's not nice. That's not fair. That's not the way things are supposed to be.
My thought would be that they probably didn't offer her any assistance. Otherwise, I don't think she would have made the comments about losing her faith. You know, if they had done
mm-hmm.
some assist her, I just don't see where that comment would have come from. So, I never even need to research it further, but my gut feeling is that you're going to find out that they didn't do anything. Otherwise, I don't know why she would have made that comment if they offered her some assistance.
Mm-hmm. Well, but here you have two totally, well, even this thing with Snowden, totally different scenarios. You have a little boy who sings the national anthem like, you know, an angel. You have a man who puts himself in a very precarious position for whatever reasons that we still don't understand why he did what he did and the pros and cons of what he did, who
mm-hmm.
is now being protected in Hong Kong. I mean, Hong Kong? Where's the connection there? And then you have a mom who's a teacher in a Catholic school who just, you know, gets turned out in the street. And then in every article, the feedback from us, the public, is pretty awful. Except for the little boy, that was atrocious. Maybe they just didn't post them, but there was not one positive thing. So I shared it on my Facebook page, and I said, you know, this has to be the most beautiful rendition of the national anthem that I have ever witnessed, and that was really all that ever needed to be said. And I got feedback from my Facebook people, you know, saying, you know, they agreed and everything. But all these things going on, and all of the people that are out there complaining about the way the world is, complaining about the unkindness, complaining about the unfairness, complaining about the government listening in on them. Well, now I know why, Shelley. because they're all behaving like, you know, not nice people. Maybe they do need to be watched.
That's true. And,
you know, maybe somebody does need to pay attention to what they're doing.
I find the comments about the little boy to be nothing less than appalling. As you were reading it, I was, well, first of all, you played that beautiful rendition, and I didn't know where you were going.
Mm-hmm.
So you done read the comments, and I actually got it, my stomach started hurting. It was like, I didn't expect you to go there. You know, like I said, I didn't know why you were playing it. I was waiting to hear your comments. I was very moved by his rendition, you know, and I was actually physically, I had a physical reaction to the comments as you were reading them. You know, I felt like stress in my stomach. It was like a very uncomfortable reaction. But I was, I'm sitting here, like you said, you were embarrassed. I was appalled. What is it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. You know, it's like the old golden rule, you know, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Whatever happened to that?
Yeah.
Really,
I don't know.
Whatever happened to that? You know?
I don't know.
I mean,
I really, really don't
scary.
Know.
For everybody who's listening, that is a really, really, really good rule to follow. You know, if you can't say something constructive, all right, and that doesn't mean that you can't be critical. It's not what I'm saying. But there's a way of being constructively critical where you can actually take a situation that may not be exactly right and give someone some positive direction to make it right. You know, that's fine if you want to be constructively critical, but just to be critical for the point of being insulting or derogatory
and mean, and it's mean,
right, or small-minded or mean or something like that. It's like, you know, that is absolutely not okay, and it is one of the fundamental reasons why we have a generation of adults that are dysfunctional and can't get along with each other. It really is one of the underlying factors, because people just can't have a nice attitude towards each other. You know, I was driving home from work yesterday, I was driving into work this morning, and there was somebody behind me, maybe a mile and a half, and I put my blinker on to change lanes, And I don't know if this individual was trying to change lanes at the same time that I was or whatever. I still can't figure out what happened. So I passed the car that was in front of me, went around, got into the right lane, and all of a sudden this individual, I don't know if it was a man or a woman, speeds up next to me, goes around me, gets in front of me, and flips me off, and then continues driving. And I'm like, wow. I mean, and I don't drive slow. I happen to drive, usually a few miles over the speed limit, so I know I wasn't, like, going really slow. For the life of me, I can't understand, you know. And I just let it go. I started laughing. You know, I'm not going to allow myself, I'm not going to let it ruin my day, you know. But somebody else would have had a different reaction than me. Somebody else would have gotten upset, might have tried to chase them down or something. You know, you do something like that, and you can spread the anger, and you can spread the discontent. I choose not to take it in. If somebody acts badly, and you know me for a long time, there was a time I wasn't like that. There was a time that if somebody was mean or nasty to me, I would respond in kind. So I like the change in me that's happened as I get older and I get more mature and all that, because it keeps me in a better place. But there's a lot of people that don't disengage from that. And when somebody's mean or nasty to them, then all of a sudden they take that on, and they're mean and nasty to the next person they come across. You know, kindness can be contagious and cruelty can be contagious. And I think people really, really need to wrap their brain and heart around that.
Well, and I think that a big part of this has to do with some kind of jealousy and an opportunity to just be hateful because you feel hateful about other things that are going on in your life. But I have to wonder, really, you know, what they're thinking. Why they think that is going to make them feel any better is what puzzles me. You know, if you're listening right now and you think it's okay, you have to understand that, like you just said, anger begetting anger can have a almost like a cancerous effect.
Yes, exactly.
To those of you out there who have suffered from cancer, or have lost a loved one, or are nursing a loved one at this point in time with cancer, cancer is hatred, and it eats away at people like there's no tomorrow. It's like it actually eats your body away when cancer attacks you. And that's what hatred does. That's what hatred does, and that's how hatred moves so quickly through a group of people, because it's scary when you get attacked by hatred, just like it's scary when you get attacked by cancer. So reactions to it are bad. And instead of being able to separate yourself a little bit and think to yourself, I don't want to get in the middle of this eating frenzy. I don't. I want to pull myself away from this and reevaluate the way I look at something instead of letting all of this hatred make me hate.
Exactly.
And you can do that. I mean, already the fact that I posted this and already the people that have looked at it are like, oh my God, Renee, this is, you know, what a beautiful story about this young man and things like that. That's the way a lot of people should have looked at it from the very beginning. But when you get one hater, it's like a fire, and it spreads like crazy.
What I find astonishing, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. What I find astonishing is that the comments that were made, that like the only person that can sing the national anthem from these people's perspective is somebody who's a U.S. citizen. Why? It's a song that honors America. If somebody who's a foreign national decides to sing it while they're in this country, honoring where they are, why would that anger somebody? That makes me feel like they're being respectful to me. That would make me happy if another foreign national sang, you know, like if I went to I can wrap my brain around, like if I went somewhere and I was a singer, I might want to sing their national anthem as a show of respect to them because I'm in their country. Why wouldn't somebody look at it as a form of respect? Now, it turns out this child happens to be a U.S. citizen, okay? But let's say he wasn't. Those comments still have no business being made. Because if he wasn't a U.S. citizen, then it would even be more remarkable that he chose to honor us that way. And that's the healthy way to look at it. That's the loving way to look at it. That's the way that decent people would look at it. And some of those comments, I think, are, like we said a few minutes ago, are just appalling.
Mm-hmm. Well, Here's what the word national means. For those of us who don't understand the title national anthem, of or relating to a nation, common to or characteristic of a whole nation. So that in itself should kind of embrace all of us instead of having it just be, I mean, you can make it into a noun. That's that's what it means if you're looking at it as an adjective. Of or relating to a nation, common to or characteristic of a whole nation. As a noun, it's a citizen of a particular country, typically entitled to hold that country's passport, such as a German national, which you have used that that definition a couple times tonight while you've been talking about it. But in truth, it's a nation. And it should embrace all of us, not just some of us. And I think, in truth, that's where the big problem is. Because for me, if I sing that song, it's about everybody. It's about everybody in the world. It's not just about the people that live next door to me here in the United States of America. It's a beautiful, beautiful anthem, and it's meant to embrace all. But again, the anger that was spouted was totally unnecessary. In a place where, you know, first of all, why hurt that child? For one thing, I mean, it sounded like he rallied and bounced back from everything, but why hurt that little boy for doing something God gave him? A voice like that needs to be heard. And again, I haven't heard very many renditions of the national anthem that surpassed that. And by the way, in our history of national anthem singers, there's been a lot of other people who weren't born in the United States. A lot of our opera stars that have sang the national anthem were not born in the United States of America. And there was never any kind of feedback about that except praise. So it's sad. It's very sad. I appear to have lost Shelley. She's probably driving home and her cell phone is acting up. So one of the other things I wanted to share with everybody tonight was one of the other sites that I go to a lot about bullying has an interesting story. It says, we empower bullies with our admiration. This is just food for thought. I don't know whether I agree with this or disagree with this, but it is food for thought for all of us. Bullying has been in the news a lot lately. Awareness of the problem has spawned a number of programs designed to combat it. While I applaud this effort, I don't see bullying going away anytime soon. Now, we've talked about that a lot of times on the show, and our good friend Izzy, who talks about this a lot, believes that we're going about things in the wrong way, which I tend to agree with. But the truth of the matter is that we love bullies. We reward and encourage them. We celebrate and cheer them on. Watch any sitcom on TV. And we revel in the bullying. I enjoy watching the popular show How I Met Your Mother. But in nearly every episode, the so-called friends bully each other as well as other characters. And like them, many of us bully our friends and family with collegial insults and practical jokes. Of course, we tell ourselves, it's all in fun, and nothing is meant by it, or is it? But the problem is that through our actions and those of the characters on TV, we and they become role models for our children. They mimic us at school and on the playground. Your children may not be actively bullying someone, but they are laughing at those being bullied and subsequently supporting, promoting, and fostering the continuation of bullying in our society. We also admire bully heroes in the movies. Now, I've talked about this myself. Dirty Harry, The Godfather, Captain Kirk, Gunnery Sergeant Hartman in Full Metal Jacket, one of my kids and older teenagers' favorites, and it was horrible. Jules Winfield in Pulp Fiction, another one. Dr. Buddy Rydell in Anger Management. Oh, that was a doozy, that one. And so on. We love talk show hosts like Bill O'Reilly and Neil Bortz when they bully guests and callers with whom we disagree. So this, I thought, was right on. I thought that the whole story about this is true. And I've talked about it at length, about the fact that our ability to lead in a way that teaches kids to not bully is very sadly missing a lot. in all of these examples, this was written by Robert Evans Wilson Jr., and this is on a media site. And he goes on, there's more to read, but it's all the same stuff, and it does say some of the same things that I've said before. I often bring up the fact that our president, the Pope, a lot of our political real leaders, political leaders, get harassed and picked on and made fun of and disrespected on a regular basis. And again, you don't have to love any of them, and you don't have to invite them over for dinner. But if they're in an office that helps run our world and you help get them there, then there has to be some mutual respect going on. I think I have Shelley back. Do I have you back on, honey?
Yeah, wow. I couldn't seem to dial back in. I had no antenna. And I was sitting still, incidentally. I was parked. And that was just, like, so weird when that cell phone land is getting really squirrely lately.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to bring that up tonight. I'm glad you said that, because I had it in my head today. My cell phone, of course, I have an inexpensive, but it's an inexpensive service. I have my cell phone with Metro PCS, and I do that because I have lots of grandchildren that I have on the plan with me, and it is the least expensive. But my cell phone for the last probably 6 weeks has been pathetic, my service. And there's many times that my phone just says no service, plain and simple.
Yeah,
and
so
I was wondering, yeah, so it is the same thing for everybody. I've had a lot of people tell me that they went to AT&T and they spent $300 on their phone and they're thinking they're going to get better service, and they're not. So
yeah,
if anybody out there has it,
yeah,
T-Mobile too.
With AT&T and with Sprint that are all having the same issue. So that's four carriers now that are all, because everybody keeps telling me, oh, I'm going to have to change. I said, don't bother. I said, I have Sprint.
Mm-hmm.
I said, one of my dear friends has AT&T. She's having the exact same issues. We're talking, all right, and all of a sudden, bam, you know, I was talking to Paula the other day, and I swear, inside of a 10-minute phone conversation, and we don't know which phone was doing it, we got disconnected four times. I was like, oh, wow. You know, and you're watching your antenna go up and down, up and down. But, like, just now when I was trying to call back into the show, I was sitting still. And all of a sudden it dropped, and I could tell it was going to drop the call because I was watching my antenna all of a sudden disappear, and I was waiting, and every time that happens, a few minutes later, you get all garbled. And then, you know, you sound like you're talking through marbles, and then bam, and it hung up on us. But then I couldn't call back in. I actually have been getting something lately. I don't know if anybody else has been seeing this on their phones, but where I actually get a circle with a line through it. It's not even that my antenna dropped. It's like I don't even have an antenna in my phone. The symbol actually just goes away, and it turns into like a stop sign. And that only started about maybe 2 months ago. I'd never seen that symbol before.
Well, I know that you become so dependent on all these innovations that if you'd have told me 10 years ago that I couldn't live without a cell phone, I told you you were nuts. I don't even like to talk on the phone. And
yep.
I won't be any problem for me at all, but it is a problem when I don't have access to my cell phone.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Yep.
And I was the same, exactly what you just said. I never thought I would be one of these people that would walk around. The only thing I do have to say that I don't do, and I don't think I ever will do, is there are some people that just can't disconnect. They're sitting at a table with a bunch of their other friends, and everybody's sitting there texting and somebody talking to each other. There I don't go. If I'm with my friends, I'm there because I want human contact. I want to have conversation. You know, that's where I think it goes a little overboard. But as far as the access and being able to have people get in touch with me and be in touch with them, I have to admit that I'm very used to that. It's something I'm comfortable with, and it's a convenience that I enjoy.
Yeah, Yeah, me too. Me too. And I notice that in particular, I appreciate, because it seems like here at home, unless I'm locked in my office like I do for the show at night and tell everybody they're not allowed to bother me, there's a lot of confusion here on some days. And a lot of times I have to wait and talk on the phone when I leave the house.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I do that. You know, I'll be driving someplace, and that's when I make a lot of my phone calls. So I would miss that. I do miss that when the phone isn't working properly a lot.
Right.
And
right.
I thought to myself the other day, I wonder if I could function now at this stage in my life with just a landline. And I realized I could, but I wouldn't like it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
it wouldn't be convenient at all for me. And even like lately, when I'm doing so many doctor's visits with my husband and everything, and I sit out in the waiting room, and I've watched the same newsreel on the TV in the waiting room 15 times, I'll get on my phone and check my Facebook and my emails and all that stuff. I would miss that too, because that becomes a, you know, I'll bet cell phones has helped a lot of people quit smoking, not ever being a smoker. I was thinking about this the other day because I was watching actually my daughter-in-law, who always smoked quite a bit, and they're all trying to quit smoking now because Mike is having problems with his throat. And I noticed instead of lighting a cigarette, she picks up her cell phone and gets into her Facebook and stuff like that. I'll bet it's helped a lot of people with something to do with their hands to quit smoking.
Oh, well, that's fascinating.
You know?
I never even would have gone there.
Yeah, I really think it probably helped a few people, because I think that one of the reasons, again, I'm just talking from what I've observed, because I've never been a smoker, but I lived with smokers my whole life, and
right.
It's almost like a boredom with something to do with their hands and something to help them think, something to help them digest their food. It's just something to do while they're sitting and relaxing, and kind of like the way I play solitaire.
Yeah.
Remember how I've always done that?
Well, like when I was a smoker, I never got addicted to nicotine. I happen to consider myself very lucky. So when I quit, it wasn't from willpower, because I never did get addicted to the nicotine, you know. So I can't, I can't get attitude with people who can't quit, because I may not have if I had been addicted. But at any rate, but the only thing that was difficult for me, it wasn't the nicotine, because like I said, I'd get up in the morning, I wouldn't get a headache or anything because I never got addicted. But I missed the mannerisms, what you were just talking about. If I got in a car to drive, I had to light a cigarette, because it was such a habit pattern, you know, for if I did particular errands, the first thing I would do is I would light up a cigarette. And so when I quit, initially, I didn't go through any kind of physical withdrawal, but it's like, all of a sudden, I didn't know what to do with my hands, because it became such a habit, you know. So that's what you were talking about. And I think more smokers, you know, like when I told you when I had done that research about addiction, and they said that, like, with smoking was one of the things they talked about, and they said the physical dependency goes away very quickly. It's the emotional, it's the habitual, the mannerisms that are very hard for people to break away from. So you're right. You're right.
Yeah, and that's why I think some of these new things, I don't remember what they're called. They have, like, some kind of vapor comes out of them. They're like a cigarette, but they're
cigarette.
Very... Yes.
Yeah, electric cigarettes,
yeah, I think those, of course, I don't know if inhaling whatever's coming out of that is such a great idea, or I don't even know if you do inhale it. Knowing what I know about electricity and EMFs and things like that, I don't know that that's great for you either. But I do know that that probably will help a lot of people in regard to the nervous energy thing, the, you know, the needing to do something with your hands. Of course, that's why you have nail biters. That's why you have people that fuss with their, even if they don't bite their nails anymore, they they mess with their cuticles. We have to have something. I don't know, the bother kind of thing. We have to have that going on. And I think a lot of times, if somebody's been a smoker all their lives and have to quit smoking, of course, a lot of them gain weight because then they start eating goodies when they would have normally had a cigarette, or a lot of different things take the place of it. But I do think cell phones have entered in to that arena as well. You know, pick up your cell phone when you don't have anything else to do and check this and check that, because you're not always at your laptop or your iPad. I notice every doctor's visit that I've been to, every doctor's visit that I've been to with Spike, I am shocked to see how many people my age and older sit with iPads and play Candy Crush and all these other games on their iPads in the doctor's office. I mean, it's like you're witnessing a whole bunch of senior citizen kids.
Yep.
You know?
Wow. That is surprising.
So, it's funny. It's really funny. I mean, I sat there the other day and there was a lady sitting beside me. She had to be 80 years old. And she had an iPad that was like a 5x7 or something like that, you know, that size iPad. And she was playing Candy Crush on it, and it cracked me up. I thought to myself, oh, my God. A lot of times when I see them take out those big iPads, I think they're reading Kindles, which would make sense,
reading a
book or something that they've downloaded on their Kindle. But no, they're iPads so that they can play games.
Wow.
Funny, huh?
Yeah, that is funny. I wouldn't have thought that.
The cardiac waiting rooms is a lot like God's waiting room. You know that, right?
Yes.
You know, it's matter of fact, I'm one of the youngest people in the room most of the time. So, that always cracks me up too. So, and on that note, I want everybody to know that it's very possible that next week I will have to take some nights off. My husband, who I've shared this with a few times, I don't go into details, but he had heart failure a year ago, and things got a lot better, and now he's got some other stuff going on. So it's possible that he will have to do some kind of surgery next week. And if that happens, I will always post everybody on Facebook, and I'll say something on the show the night before if I find out that's going to happen. But I do want everybody to know that, I won't let him go anywhere. I won't let anybody that I love spend time in a hospital without me being in and out all the time, because that's just who I am. So... I did want to mention that tonight. Well, I should know. Actually, I should know about the surgery by Monday. We were supposed to do everything tomorrow, and they couldn't make it happen. But they're going to go in and do a new angiogram on Monday, which will take 5 to 6 hours. And after the angiogram, by Wednesday, they should have everything printed out and know exactly what they need to do. And then there will be a surgery. And he's not real excited about it, obviously, so I have to be the rather old, overweight cheerleader, if you know what I mean. So, but he's, I said to him, this is going to make you feel better. I know you don't want to do it, but, we have to do what we have to do. So I just wanted everybody to know that it may make my show a little erratic next week. I will try not to have that happen, because I really miss this when I don't do it. And I do appreciate the followers that we have accumulated. And I certainly appreciate the support that we always get from a lot of you. So I will try not to miss any nights, but if it happens, I'll let everybody know as quickly as I can that I won't be available that evening.
Okay.
Cool. Anything else, Shel? Got anything else about any of the other stories I told tonight? I think I'm going to sign out with this young man singing again and let him warm everybody's hearts a little bit.
I love that. That's a great idea.
Yep.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but other than that, I think I'm going to try to do a little bit more research on the teacher that was asked to leave the school. See what I can find out about that. I still have feelers out for Bailey, our young woman in Northern Florida, who was trying to start the Gay Straight Alliance. And there's not much going on with her, but she's still fighting for what she believes is right. So I commend her. And I'll keep an eye on this Snowden thing, because I think this is I think we're being snowed by Snowden. Let's put it that way. So we'll have to see what happens. We'll have to see what happens with that. But so I'm gonna play this video again, and I hope everybody enjoys it. We'll probably end up going off a little early, but I want to make sure everybody gets a chance to hear it. So, but that'll be it for me and Shell, and I hopefully will be here tomorrow night, Shelly and I, and I hope you all have a wonderful evening. So from my heart to yours, everybody, good night and God bless. Good night, Shell.
Good night, Reen.
El Charo de Oro, the boy with the golden voice, please welcome 11-year-old San Antonio native, Sebastian De La Cruz.